Hi there, welcome to Clan Chat, the official podcast of the Glasgow Clan Ice Hockey Club, the only podcast to bring you the interviews from around the club throughout the Elite League season. I'm Craig Anderson, and we'll look back at a quieter week for the club, including a quick reflection on the game on Wednesday against Cardiff Devils with Pete Russell and netminder Joel Rumple. We'll also look ahead to this weekend's visit of Belfast Giants, who come to Scotland as part of their three-game trip. For that, I enlisted the help of producer at UTV in Northern Ireland, Victoria Steveley, who gave us the inside track on Adam Keefe's team. We take the time to catch up with a former Clan member, none other than ex-player assistant coach Kevin Bergen, who reflects on his year at the club. And I explain why Sunday's clash between Guildford Flames and Milton Keynes Lightning is one that Clan fans should keep an eye on. And once again, we'll bother a member of the staff and ask them, what do you do? And it's all here in Clan Chat.
I'm Zach Fitzgerald, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
Clan stayed at home for another weekend and only played the one game when coach Pete Russell came up against his former team, Milton Keynes Lightning, on Saturday, when his successor, Doug McKay, brought his squad to Glasgow. The reunion was more pleasurable for Russell, who saw his team win 6-4 on a night that saw Clan surge into a four-goal lead without reply inside the opening 8.5 minutes of the game. Brendan Connolly was the star of the show, scoring a hat-trick, including a couple of crackers, and was ably helped by other contributions from Craig Peacock, Vaslav Stupka and Rasmus Bjerrum. With Sunday off, it allowed the team to anticipate the visit of current champions Cardiff Devils with memories fresh from last month's 8-1 drubbing by Andrew Lord's side in Wales. Pete wanted to see his team compete, and that's exactly what he got as the Clan went toe-to-toe, more than matching the Devils throughout the game, and in the end only separated by something of a scrappy goal by Stephen Dixon. It was only 1-0, and plenty to be pleased about from the Clan point of view. However, the winless run against them now extends to 11 as Glasgow's search for a victory over Cardiff since the 3rd of January 2016 continues. It left the coach content with how his team performed, and he spoke to our very own Jerry McLaughlin after the game.
So Pete, after the score line down in Cardiff, it was always going to be really important for the team to perform well in that first period and really set out their stall early. That certainly seemed to happen.
I thought we played a great game. They're a good team. Well, obviously they're a great team. I thought if a few things go our way, then we take something out of that. But yeah, I think that's one of the most complete defensive performances we had, because they're a quality team, and I thought we had our chances as well. I thought Ben Bounds was great, and I thought Rumps was great, and yeah, you know, you always want something in the end, but it was just, there was a few things that disappoint you. You know, I'm not allowed to say it, but I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. I don't know what you have to do in this league to get a penalty shot, for one. You know, I think, you know, it's difficult, but yeah, positive for us. I thought we played really good in the D zone. I thought our PK was unbelievable again, and you know, if a few things can bounce the right way, if we play like that, we're going to, in every game, and be consistent, we're going to pick up a lot of points.
Well, you kind of touched on it briefly there as well, but coming into this game, the Cardiff Devils power play was the top away power play in the league, and the Clan home penalty kill is the top home penalty kill in the league as well. It was going to be interesting to see which one of those broke. In the end, it was a penalty killing masterclass by both teams.
Yeah, it was good game. I thought for a neutral it'd be a great game to watch. You know, 1-0 hockey games, a lot of goals, but there was a lot of chances at times, and I thought two teams went hard at it, and you know, performance wise I'm happy with it. You know, I don't have any complaints whatsoever.
Do you think that's the difference sometimes with these teams, that a championship style team manages to find that 1-0 win when really it's a very even game? Any team could have come away with the points there.
Yeah, they do it a lot. That's why they've won the last few years, because they know how to pick up points, play great road games, and I was just happy how we've came on as a team. You know, I think you could see how we've came together from the last time. And I think the guys gave a lot tonight. I think they worked really hard in a lot of situations. And with a bit of luck and maybe in a few more chances, it could have went the other way. But it's what it is, a game of hockey. Sometimes that happens.
Talking to the players straight off the ice, one of the things they mentioned was that demand from you for a 60-minute performance, not just a good first period, not just a good thing, all the way through. Do you feel like you got that tonight? It was certainly exciting all the way through for the fan base.
Sure. I think that's one of our best performances. People will think that's mad to say that, losing 1-0 at home, but they're a top team, and you know, and We've played good in the big games, except Cardiff. We've had some really good games. They're hard to break down. We had some great chances in the first period. I think there was one right at the end. I don't really know if I've seen the video. I think Bouncy made a great save in Bex. I don't know if it came through to him for Pitter. I can't really see it where I'm standing. But, you know, Joel was good as well. But it'd have been nice to take something. I thought we pushed him the whole way. And we have to take from that. We have to take belief from that. And we have to take confidence from that.
Is that the message you give to the boys heading into this weekend as well? It's all big games at every stage of the season, but you're starting to see things click on the ice.
Yeah, well, it's a decent team. Everybody knows this is a decent team. They buy in and they care, but yeah, you need a little bit of help here and there, you know. And I think the one thing is there's a real grey area with some of the things, you know. again, penalty shots, I don't know how you get one. Don't understand the face-off violation. You know, I wouldn't be an official. I wouldn't do it, but I don't understand it. I'd like to speak to somebody about that one. Do you know, and it's not complaining, you know. Never lost as a game, not for 1 minute, but momentum changes. You know, we need to, sometimes we need that. We don't need that change. We need to keep momentum. I thought we had it at that time. I thought the boys pushed right to the end. You could see that, and they're disappointed, but it was a 60-minute game. We have to now come back in the morning, have a light skate, train Friday, and then pre-game Saturday, and then we play another good team. They've been great games against Belfast. Hopefully the place will be busy, and hopefully bring in our 60-minute game and get back on the wins.
That was another great atmosphere for a midweek game. Everyone appreciates it's a school night for the week. But they came out tonight in their costumes and colours and really got behind the team, and it was a great game for them to get behind, wasn't it?
For sure, because there was a lot going on in it. It was, the compete level was high, and there was good speed to it, and both teams were going, both teams were defending with their bodies and blocking shots, and both teams were good round the net, and you know, and both goalies played well. It always makes it exciting because it keeps you going, you don't know where it's going to go. But I think for me, I thought the boys were good tonight, really good. I'm a bit disappointed never getting anything out of it for them, but you know, as a coach, you can't ask for much more than that.
It's Matt Sash, you're listening to Clan Chat.
Head coach Pete Russell giving his thoughts after Wednesday's game with Cardiff. I also got the thoughts of netminder Joel Rumpel after the game, as well as look back on Wednesday. We also had a quick preview of Saturday's game to come with Belfast, and I asked Joel how the team bounced back from what was a tough loss against the champions.
You know, I think you just kind of take all the good things. I mean, we played a great game. Our defense had one of the best games it's had in a while, and our penalty killing was good, so it's more just building off of that that game tonight.
How tough an opponent are Belfast? You've played them in the Challenge Cup already. League's a different kettle of fish altogether. How do you rate them?
They're a good team. I mean, they work hard, they're fast, they're big. But, you know, I think we know how to play against them now, and we know how to kind of maybe get a few behind their goalie and their defense. So, yeah, I think we just build off of tonight and we should be good.
Speaking of tonight, it was only a 1-0 win. You did so many things right, unfortunately, just not quite enough.
Yeah, that's hockey. I mean, you can have one of the best games of the season and still lose. So, yeah, those games happen, but I think you just have to take the positives, and the boys played really well tonight, so that was awesome.
Is that the worst kind of defeat, a defeat you put so much into it and you've come away with nothing?
I mean, it hurts, obviously. You feel like you deserve a point or maybe a chance at overtime there, but, you know, again, it's hockey, and you can't always. Sometimes you get a win when you don't really deserve it, so it all comes back around.
Of course, Belfast are one of the teams at the top of the league. Do they deserve to be there, in your opinion?
Yeah, they're a good team. I think everybody knows that every team in this league has a chance to win every night, and if you don't bring your A game, then you know those teams will jump on you. So it'll be nice to get after them tomorrow, Saturday.
That's it, and of course you'll be hoping for more of a crowd tonight. Not as much, obviously, Wednesday night, but when this place is noisy, you know what it's like. It can really get behind you.
Yeah, I mean, tonight the fans are pretty amazing. It was really full. We're a little surprised at how loud they were, and it was awesome to see that. But yeah, Saturday is a whole different ball game. It's pretty rowdy, and it's fun to see.
Hey, Clan fans, I'm Michael Gutwald, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Clan netminder Joel Rumpel there. As I said, the next team to visit is the Belfast Giants for the first meeting on league business between the teams. The Giants are part of the group of three at the top of the table, locked on 20 points, along with Nottingham Panthers and league leaders Fife Flyers. Both sides have met twice this season in the Challenge Cup, with the Giants winning on both occasions, taking victory and a 6-4 success in Northern Ireland, and then a Blair Riley winner with 2 seconds on the clock when they met in Glasgow just 3 weeks ago. So, ahead of the next meeting on Saturday, I spoke to Victoria Steveley, a producer at Ulster Television who follows the Giants, and we spoke about whether the Giants can be credible challengers to Cardiff in the league race, and Brendan Connolly and his possible role. But first, I asked her why there's a lot of excitement about Keith's current squad of players.
A reasonably good start for Belfast. I suppose over the long off season, fans were conscious that there were a number of key players who were going to be departing. The likes of Sebastian Silvestre, Steve Saviano, Brandon Benedict, you know, people who were quite key to the side in one way or another, either scoring a lot of goals or with a real reputation in terms of Benny as a real workhorse and someone who was very good for the side. So that obviously causes concerns. I think it, you know, the nature of hockey has changed, but fans are maybe just not too happy with that sometimes. You know, if they've been happy with what they have, there's a tendency to want to cling on to it. But when they looked at the side that Adam Keefe and Steve Thornton and everyone at Belfast put together, there was definitely a lot to be positive about. Some great signings, a lot of individuals that everyone felt would bring something in their own way to the team. The likes of Besko, Tyler Besko-Wai, came in very quickly, very popular. The likes of Pat Dwyer coming with that NHL experience. Hunter Bishop definitely hailed as someone to be excited about. You know, loads of others. There were loads of people that fans were excited to see. And I think at the start of the season, there were flashes of what people could hope for from this side.
Now, we've seen the likes of Nottingham Panthers. They've struggled for form in recent weeks. Although they've been top of the league, they have played significantly more games than the rest of the team. Sheffield Steelers have imploded so far, and it's hard for them to come back. So would you reckon Giants are probably the more credible challengers to Cardiff Devils this year?
Ooh, I think with the league this season, it's... you know, it has been interesting just the way things have worked out. As you say, you know, Sheffield have obviously struggled. Whether they can turn that around, you know, and you never really know what to expect in this league. You know, it's not so long ago that, you know, the sky was falling in for Giants fans. It only took, I think, 3 defeats in a row, and everyone's like, well, you know, done, it's over. So early in the season, who's thinking like that? But I think it was possibly more disappointing and frustrating than it might otherwise have been because of the expectations. But Giants fans will probably remember actually that the early wins, very very early in the season, Challenge Cup, and also I think people were thinking about the exhibition games. Kiefer himself wasn't actually that happy with some of those performances. Speaking to him after a couple of wins, he definitely wasn't, you know, turning cartwheels and thinking, you know, this is it. He was wanting and expecting more from his players. But after that skid, things certainly turned around for Belfast again. A great run of wins. And, you know, I definitely think they're capable of challenging and of more, even than what we've seen. It is a side, it's something you always hear a lot about when it comes to Belfast, about, you know, that road warrior mentality and getting it done. You know, when times are hard, I think the Giants actually sometimes thrive on that. And if we look at the games they've just played, you know, going in so short-benched, actually coming out of that weekend, possibly more short-benched than ever, and to get those 2 results, to me and to a lot of people, that's what this Belfast team's all about. You know, if you can be good when you're fully stocked and with all your talent available, that's great. But if you can still get those results when you're up against it, that can be a game changer.
Now, this weekend, the Giants come to Scotland. They come to Glasgow on the Saturday, where they take on the Clan, as well as going to Fife and Dundee as well through the course of the weekend. We've seen other teams do that in recent weeks also. But let's talk about the Clan, obviously. That's why we've got you on. What's the view of the Clan under Pete Russell from your part of the world?
Well, you know, I think Belfast, you know, they're never... they never decide to take anyone for granted, you know. So people might look to, you know, the Scottish teams are teams that Belfast have come up against quite a lot this season already, with it being so early. But they've seen a lot of action against the Scottish teams. Will they look to how those games went and make any snap judgments? I wouldn't think so. You know, they're gonna be aware of the dangers. I think it's something that is going to be very to the fore coming into this weekend, is going to be just managing that run of 3 games in a row. Yes, at Torquay, you know, I don't see it being used as an excuse, but it is something that you have to really think about. How do you, you know, manage your resources when you are so short-benched? I mean, the Giants had 14 skaters for their last game. just what they'll be going into, you know, after this week. You know, that'll play out when they see who's fully fit and how that's going to go. But I think in terms of the Clan, you know, they're going to be conscious. The last time they played the Clan, they got the wins, but I mean, you were relying on a game winner last time round with 2 seconds to spare. You know, that's pretty tight. So, you know, I don't think you're going to take any huge confidence from that. And then, of course, the first time you played the Clan this season, that so nearly went quite horribly wrong for Belfast, going 3-0 down, and in Belfast as well. So, you know, I think there's certainly an awareness of what the Clan could be capable of.
Now, let's talk about one player in particular. You mentioned some players that left the Giants last year. Clan have got one of them, of course, in Brendan Connolly. Connolly's on a bit of form at the moment. He's one of the top scorers in the league at the moment. He was one of the top scorers in the league for Belfast last year as well. Will Adam be looking at Brendan as a threat to his team this weekend?
I think everyone in Belfast will be very aware of what Clan brings to the table. I mean, as you said, put up fair few goals for Belfast during his time with them. One of those players who can, I suppose for want of a better way of putting it, make a nuisance of himself. you know, in a positive way, you know, for his team, he can get under the skin of other sides and does have a wee temper on him. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, just how that goes. He can rack up a lot of goals. He can rack up a lot of penalty minutes too. But I think, you know, people will be, you know, Giants fans, in one way or another, they're always interested to see past Giants and how they fare with other teams. And, you know, maybe they'll give them a little bit of stick, maybe they won't. But, you know, I think they're always curious to see just how they'll fare.
That was the voice of UTV producer Victoria Steveley, who was good enough to take the time to talk to me about this Saturday's opponents, Belfast Giants. We now go from looking over the Irish Sea to looking back to the past as I caught up with a former player of what was Brayhead Clan and a man who was very popular with the fans. Kevin Bergen joined the team in the summer of 2013 as assistant to Ryan Finnerty, who himself had just agreed to come to the club after spending the previous 2 seasons with Sheffield Steelers. Bergen and Finnerty had been rivals on the ice, with Bergen a former Nottingham Panthers player and Finner icing for the Steelers, so the news that both men would be teaming up was an interesting one. The Montreal-born offensive defenseman iced 50 times for the Clan, scoring 14 goals and assisted in a further 27, helping what was Finnerty's team into the top half of the Elite League table, and reached the playoff finals weekend for the one and only time in the club's history. We talked about all of that, what he's up to now, his thoughts on the club, but I started by asking him what his biggest memory was from his time here.
Well, biggest memory, I'd say the welcome from the people in Glasgow, Brayhead and Scotland was what impressed me and my wife the most. We enjoyed our time there very, very much, but I'd say the memory is the people of Glasgow. The way they welcomed us there was awesome.
Let's take you back to that summer of 2013. Ryan Finnerty had just been appointed as the club's new coach. You came in as his assistant coach. How did the possibility of your move come about?
Well, Ryan and I have played against each other for a few years, and Ryan wants people to compete, and it was always a hard battles between me and Ryan. You know, he was Sheffield, I was Nottingham. We obviously didn't like each other, but the respect was always there because he had to do a job, I had to do a job, and I think Ryan felt that if he can get me on the same side, that we'd get along good, and we had a few chats, and I wanted to get into coaching. Gave me that opportunity. I will always be grateful for that. Being able to play and coach at the same time is not something a lot of people can do. I was fortunate enough to do it. Was fortunate enough to fall in love with coaching. So, that was an opportunity I couldn't pass up.
Now, you were a former teammate of Bruce Richardson from your time at Nottingham as well. Bruce being a former Clan coach also. Did he play a part in you making a decision to come to Glasgow at the time?
Well, of course, because, you know, the first thing you do as a player when you're going to go to a city is call people who have been there before. And Bruce pretty much built it from the ground up, so he knew everybody. He knew what to expect, and after talking to him, it was a no-brainer for me.
And of course, it was a league you were familiar with. As I mentioned, you played for Nottingham. You'd also played for Basingstoke Bison from their time in the Elite League as well. What kind of Elite League were you expecting coming back? Were you expecting a different standard?
I wasn't expecting a different standard.
Or improved, even.
Yeah, it was. You know, the league was growing. I'd been away for a couple years from the league playing in France, and you know, you always keep in touch with what's going on. And then they installed the conference system, and you know, I was expecting big rivalries like the Nottingham Sheffield, but you know, with all the teams in Scotland, so I was really looking forward to, you know, playing Fife, playing Dundee, playing in Henborough, you know, and try to compete for the league. You know, if you're the best of your conference, it gave you a good chance to win the league. So it was a great challenge.
Talk about some of the guys that you and Ryan had playing for you at the time. There was a good bunch of guys there from certainly I recall that year. Chris Frank, one of them that kind of sticks out. Kyle Jones, guys like that. From your perspective, you were the teammate. You know, what were these guys like to work with?
Well, we spent a tremendous amount of time on recruitment that summer. You know, the wife could hardly get a conversation in with me some days because we're calling and being overseas. Sometimes you have to make phone calls till 3 or 4 in the morning to get the guys, you know, that are working in the summer. You catch them after work and they finish at 7 or 8 in North America. And we knew we got a good bunch of guys because we did our homeworks on them. You know, we wanted to make sure we recruited guys that had the good values on and off the ice. So for the amount of time we put in, I think we were rewarded with a great bunch of guys.
And what do you feel you learned from Ryan? As you said, this was your first steps into coaching. What do you feel you learned from him in that year?
Well, the work ethic. The work ethic that, you know, you put into preparing a team. The work ethic you put into building a team. The amount of work. The negotiations. What are you willing to do to win? And, you know it as a player because you know how to prepare yourself, you know. But as a player, you only have yourself to prepare. And, you know, when you land in Glasgow and, you know, the week that you land, the GM resigns and you're there and you have to get the apartments, get everything ready, get the visas, get everything. You know, it was good to have Ryan and the work ethic he had to show that, you know, as a coach, you need to work twice as hard as a player to get everybody ready, make sure everybody has all they need to perform and think only about hockey. And the coach has to think about everything else, and the player, if you do your job, the players come to the rink and they only have to think about playing well.
We'll talk more about your coaching career in just a second, but going back to the year you were there, that's the only year the Clan made it to the playoff finals weekend. How special was that for you in that year to be part of that team? That team, obviously the only team to have done it, as I just said.
Well, it was more than special for me because we had to beat Nottingham to get the final weekend. And, you know, it was a great challenge. They had a great team. And, you know, being able to, over two legs, earn our spot to the final weekend was amazing. It's a feeling I'll always remember. Scoring a goal at home to pretty much seal the deal to get us the final weekend was amazing. And when the goal went in, 3,000 people stood in the crowd and yelled, and it was an amazing feeling.
Tell us about the build-up to the finals that week. I imagine it's a little different to any other week because of the event that's coming up. There's a different buzz around the locker room. Would I be right in saying that?
Well, yes, there's a buzz, but everybody's nervous. It's, you know, all the guys are not used to that format. You know, usually you come into a series and you have to win 4 games to beat the other team. Now we just come up, beat Nottingham over two games, and now you have to prepare for one game. If you don't win, you don't get to the final. So you're a bit nervous, but you know you're trying to prepare for that team, and you're excited. It's a long travel to get to Nottingham. You try to avoid all the distraction of this beautiful city, and you prepare for the game, and you know you're going to play in front of 7,000 fans, and you hope for the best.
Now, you left Brayhead to return to France. You played for a couple of clubs there that season. You went to Nice and then Dijon to kind of finish off. Was there an opportunity for you to return for a second season, or had you decided you were going to move on after that 1 year?
No, well, the beginning of the season in Nice was pretty much disastrous. It was not the same mentality down there, so we decided to part ways, and I ended up back in the top league in France with Dijon, with a good bunch of guys, and we had a tough season, but we got together, and we ended up getting beat in five. It was a best of five in game five in the semifinal by the team that won that year. So it was a great run, great playoff run. We enjoyed it, and I was in negotiation to go back there when Bruce Richardson offered me a job as an assistant coach in junior major back in Quebec. So I don't think in my mind I was ready to stop playing, because I had a few years left in me. But like I said, it was pretty much the same thing as when Ryan offered me that opportunity in Glasgow. I couldn't pass it up, and getting to coach in junior major, it's pretty much the fast track to getting experience to move professional in North America in the coaching world. So you can get hired by Team Canada under 20, all that stuff. So the CHL, being assistant coach in Quebec Major Junior League, was something I couldn't pass up. So I figured I could have played maybe two more years, but I can coach till I'm 60. So I wanted to start with Bruce right away. So I turned down the opportunity to keep playing and move to North America with my wife.
That's it. So what are you up to now? You're still coaching. You were telling me that just before we started recording. Tell us a bit more about what you're up to nowadays.
Yeah, well, after the first year, there was a change in management, so me and Bruce, we got released from our contract. So now I stepped down one league. I coach Midget AAA, which is 15 and 16-year-old kids, the top kids in our region. So it's a full-time job. We coach high school kids, so we have our team in the afternoon, but in the mornings I coach the 13 and 14-year-olds. I helped the head coach, the Bantam coach, practice every day. So I step on the ice at 8:15 in the morning. I have 1 hour lunchtime, and I'm back on the ice from 1 to 4:30 with the midgets in the afternoon. So like I said before, I think I'm on the ice more often as a coach in minor league hockey than I was playing professional hockey.
Good. And so do you think we would ever see you in the Elite League behind one of the benches over here one last time, perhaps?
You never know what's going to happen. me and my wife, we definitely enjoyed our year in Scotland very, very much. Not going to lie, my goal is the same goal I had when I was playing, is to coach in the NHL one day. So right now that's our focus. But down the line, you never know what's going to happen. I would definitely be happy to be behind the bench and in the Elite League one time.
Excellent. Let's talk about the Elite League. You still follow the league. You'll know, obviously, that Brayhead Clan is now Glasgow Clan. But what do you make of the team from afar, from where you are just now?
Well, it's tough to get the inside feeling, because I don't know a lot of people left either playing or coaching. So, but I just look at the results. I look at the highlights. I look at it's the build up. And I think last year you had a lot of sellouts. The crowds are good. it's always good. I hope to see the Clan win. Same thing for Panthers. There are two teams I follow closely. I hope they're going to finish, you know, 1-2 and both win trophies every year. I know the league got a lot better with the rule change and stuff. So teams are beating, are winning games in the Champions Hockey League, which is very, very good for the Elite League and the reputation it had. It didn't have the best reputation, you know, 10 years ago, but now the national team is in Group A, and the league is well known. You guys beat top team in the CHL, so I'm very, very proud to say I've been part of the Elite League for a couple of years.
I'm Gary Russell, and listen to Clan Chat.
Former Clan player Kevin Bergen speaking to me there. If there's a former player you want to hear from, tweet us your suggestions at Clan IHC, and we'll see what we can do. We move on, and it's time to learn more about what goes on behind the scenes at Glasgow Clan, and after talking to the voice of the Clan, the head scorer and the mascot guide, I decided to head into the realms of Clan Towers and speak to someone at the top. Well, someone close to the top. And as I always do, I ask them, what do you do?
I'm Sean Skelly. I do marketing and operations for Glasgow Clan.
So explain a bit more about that. What does that entail?
It's quite a varied role. Obviously, operations has a lot of sort of facets to it.
Sounds quite vague.
It is, intentionally, to be honest, so yeah, that they can catch me out with absolutely anything. Right. So I'd say I'm pretty much anything involved in a match night, for one. So anything from making sure all the players have got everything set in place, obviously apart from equipment, that's Dave's job,
yep,
to make sure the match night operations in terms of the volunteers are ready, things like the referees are ready, any tech that we're using, for example, goal line tech, which I realise is a bit of a sore point at the moment, is ready, anything at all like that. So just making sure that the match night's going to run smoothly. And then if anything happens during a match in particular, it's myself that's usually the first person that it lands at. So, for example, that can be an injury, in terms of making sure that we've got hospital staff, or someone going to the hospital, or the doctors seen to people from... just issues with seating, tickets, anything from that involved as well.
So how did you get involved with the Clan? And I kind of know the story, but tell everybody else how it all happened.
You were part of it at the very start, to be fair. I'd done marketing at university, and I'd wanted to work in sport. So I originally started volunteering myself with Glasgow City, the women's football team.
Yep.
I'd done sort of match night live style things with them, Twitter, things like that, including in their Champions League. And just on the back of that, I then got in touch with what was then Brayhead Clan, to discuss maybe doing some sort of live Twitter commentary and other things as well, to further increase my CV. So I'd worked, I joined Brayhead to do that, and within 2 or 3 months of working on that side of things, there was a job position that opened up, and thankfully they thought I was the person to just sort of slot in. And that was about approaching 3 years ago now, so I've been here for a fair amount of time since. So it just kind of naturally happened from there. I've always realised I wanted to work in sports, so it's been a fantastic opportunity for me.
Now, going from Twitter, I mean, I've done it as well, it can be quite tricky in a game night, to what you do now. What's, you know, you said you did marketing before, what's the biggest difference in terms of, I mean, you're a guy who wears a suit rather than a clan jacket, for example.
Yep.
So you need to kind of look the part.
Yes, absolutely. It's just making sure that from the managerial side that everything's in place. Now, rather than doing the Twitter, it's not just Twitter, obviously, we've got Instagram, Snapchat, yeah, blah, blah, blah as well. But it's just making sure that everyone knows what we're doing, because it's such a big job now, particularly now that we cover, for example, Instagram live feed, basically. So we have updates immediately, video updates after the goals. So we have different people doing different things. So it's now sort of, we have different people doing that, and I'm sort of managing it and making sure that it's all in place and running properly and to brand guidelines, for example, that we would want it to look the part, and all the different Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to all run together at the same time. So it's kind of just being part of the umbrella rather than the right part of the bottom, if that makes sense.
I mean, I spoke to Rory Nicol a couple of weeks ago, and he obviously deals with the scorers and the scoring and that side of things, and he says there's a lot of organisation involved in that, making sure people are available on game nights, yeah, and things like that. I take it you do something similar but from a different prism, with the fact you're looking at the 50-50 sellers and things like that. Is that your kind of thing, or is that
a little little bit. Tracy Ross, to be fair, Tracy does a lot of our sort of volunteer, well, particularly for recruitment and things like that. Mm. But I deal with certain aspects, in particularly the Clan promo crew. I kind of manage them and make sure they know what they're doing on a match night, and things like, to a degree, your Twitter and things like, obviously, your social medias. And what is, I've mentioned it already, but what is going to be a big part of the season coming up, the goal line technology and stuff like that, making sure that we have people in place for that. So it's, there is the degree of that involved as well.
Right, so dish the dirt, what goes on in that office up there? Can you tell us anything? Between you and me, never mind this.
Just a lot of hard work.
Absolutely. But what do you get out of it? Obviously, as I say, it's a world away from when you first come on board doing the Twitter. What do you get out of it?
Certainly is. I've worked in your regular sort of corporate jobs as well, and this is just a lot more fun, to be honest.
Right.
I love the flow of the weeks, particularly in season, the flow of the weeks. So you've got your Monday and Tuesday where you're sort of building up, doing a lot more ticket salesy kind of things. Yeah. And then I work on sort of corporate sales as well, so doing, pushing into sort of businesses and getting big corporate orders of like 50 tickets and things like that along, to sort of when it starts to, you could almost say my week is split in half, the first half being sort of tickets, marketing, sales, and then the last part of the week where it's more what's happening in the game, entertainment, is there figure skaters on, that sort of thing. So I've got kind of a split personality week almost, and the Wednesday, the hump day is well and truly hump day because my entire focus changes, and then you've got the build up to the weekend, and then obviously the Saturday, say we play on a Saturday, the Saturday's the game night, and then it's back to that again. So it's got a nice flow to it, whereas as I say, I've worked in corporate jobs before, and it's just a sort of 9 to 5, same every day.
Yeah,
there's, in sport, there's no day that's the same. I'm sure you'll know that more than anyone.
So you've talked about the week leading up to a game, and it's like that pretty much September all the way through to late March, early April.
Yes,
if we get that far. But what about the summer? What about the summer? Obviously, we know that Gareth and Pete obviously work hard recruiting the guys.
Yes.
Are you behind the scenes maybe trying to see to the organisational side of it when it comes to when these guys come over here and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of from housing to make sure that all the guys have their houses. I don't take charge of that, but I do. Obviously, we're quite a small team, so we all have to take part of many jobs, to be honest. But there's a lot of planning that goes on in the off-season. Obviously, last off-season, more than any, with the rebrand, that was a huge job, making sure from the media were aware to actually planning how it was going to get done and things like that. So there's just a lot of planning involved in the off-season, mostly. And it goes back to being a sort of regular 9 to 5 job, which that's what I'm saying. I prefer the flow of the on-season. But a lot of planning and budgeting and what the marketing plan for that season is going to be. We have kind of themes that we run to every year, certain marketing segments that we target or geographical locations, that sort of chat like that.
The bottom line is you love it.
I do, I absolutely do. I wouldn't change it.
Hey, I'm Joel Rumpel and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That was Sean Skelly, the Clan's marketing and operations guru, talking to us about what he does. Okay, time to pay attention, and while there's only one game for the Clan this weekend, there's a second game taking place on Sunday that all members of the Purple Army should be paying attention to, and it's at the Spectrum when Guildford Flames and Milton Keynes Lightning meet in Challenge Cup Group C. You've heard the clue there, the Challenge Cup, and it's the final fixture of the group stage, and we'll know for definite by Sunday night if the Clan will be in the quarterfinals. You'll recall after the last game against the Dundee Stars, while Glasgow moved ahead of Fife in the standings, it still wasn't certain if Pete Russell and his team had qualified. By Sunday, we'll know for certain. There's a long version and a short version, so I'll give you both scenarios. Let's start with the long version. The group winners qualify and the teams who finish second and third are placed into a mini-league where their records are compared. For groups B and C, group B being Clan's group, of course, the four team groups, results against the bottom team are removed to give parity with the three-team group, that's group A. As it stands, with group B concluded, Clan have 2 points with the results against bottom place Fife removed. Now, with Lightning and Flames meeting on Sunday, here's what Clan fans need to know about the possible outcome of this game and how it will affect the Glasgow Clan. Basically, any win for Milton Keynes on Sunday puts them on 2 points after you wipe out their results against the Coventry Blaze, who have been confirmed as bottom of Group C. So this will leave Glasgow and Milton Keynes both on 2 points, but would put Milton Keynes ahead of Glasgow either on regulation wins, if Milton Keynes win on regulation time, or away wins, if Milton Keynes win in overtime or in a shootout. Now, based on a hypothetical win on Sunday, games won in regulation time would see Milton Keynes win by 1-0. This being the case, Milton Keynes would be 8th and Glasgow would miss out as the 9th seeded team. Games won in regulation, well, it's 0-0 based on a hypothetical overtime or shootout win on Sunday. Total number of games won would see Glasgow 1 and Milton Keynes on 1, again based on a hypothetical overtime or shootout win for Milton Keynes. Fewest regulation losses, well, it's Glasgow 3, Milton Keynes 3 on that front. Away games, Milton Keynes would edge that 1-0. Again, this is all based on hypothetical overtime or shootout wins on Sunday. So this being the case, Milton Keynes would be 8th and Glasgow 9th. The short version, however, is much more simple. Clan basically need Guildford Flames to win. I hope you got all that. Now, I'm off for a lie down.
I'm Matt Cowlett and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That's us for this week, but just to remind you, tickets are available for Saturday's game against the Belfast Giants and all other matches taking place at home throughout November. If you haven't got them yet, head on over to the website, clanihc.com or Ticketmaster to get yours. And don't forget, the game against the Sheffield Steelers on Friday the 16th of November is not a season ticket game. So book now to get your seats for the visit of Tom Barrasso's men. Catch all the latest news around the club on the website, clanihc.com. Like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Audioboom, and the newest episode will download automatically to your device. That's it. On behalf of producer Stuart Priest and myself, Craig Anderson, many thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week for more from around the Glasgow Clan. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.